We're still in Luke chapter 11. Yesterday we studied the scriptural examples of importunity. Today we're going to spend some time on this, what it means to ask. It's sort of an elevated, let's just get to it. Look in Paul's letters about the asking. Remember, it's aiteo is the name, is the word. It means to ask from the position of a supplicant. And so in Paul's letters, let's start in Ephesians 3.
The very word ask, is that what you just said, or you said a different word?
Ask.
Is aiteo?
Aiteo in Greek.
Well, that has something to do with an ask.
Ephesians chapter 3. We're looking, every time that Paul uses the word, Paul, James, John, they all use this position of the supplicant. And so that's what we're going to look at real quickly. Ephesians 3. This is the prayer for you and I. 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts or in your inner being by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, and world without end. Now in verse 20, him that is able that above all that we ask. Again, it's the position from the supplicant. Let's go to Colossians.
That's a great two words put together. Exceeding abundance.
I thought you might like that.
Yeah, those are fixed right on up there.
Where are we going?
The Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And as you learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And for this cause also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. Now there, in verse 9, the word pray is this word ask, but it's again from the position of the supplicant. Now we're going to find something when we get to James. Let's go to James chapter 1. Start in verse 5. No, let's start in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or diverse testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And again, ask there is the position of the supplicant. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So again, let him ask. Now let's go to, that was both in verse 5 and 6. Well, let's go to chapter 4. This is where we get maybe a little bit of understanding. From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Now again, remember, lust is not, we think of the word lust as sexual. The word lust in here, the Greek word, means wanting the condition that you're in to be different. Wanting more than you have. And that definition of lust will eat your lunch.
Yeah.
Now remember, in the garden, everything that I can understand about Adam and Eve, they did not have the capacity to believe that anything in that garden or anything about them should be different. Now that position is called the position of innocence. And that's why it says that except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of God. And that little child there was from that position without self-awareness. And so the whole idea of lust from this standpoint, from the scripture standpoint, is wanting the condition that you're in or whatever is going on to be different than it is. Now this will eat your lunch if you truly can apprehend what that word means. Now watch. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. That's an incredible statement. You ask amiss, because fundamentally you are asking for yourself. Can this is a biggie. Can you really apprehend what this means? This is where freedom is, when you no longer consider your own condition. And I promise you, he'll put you through many, many, many tests to see whether or not this is going to happen. If you're going to ask for your own, then it means you've resurrected the evil one. What, Gary?
Pray,
it's
real.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3.
That's why a lot of people stop praying. John, did you say?
I remember. Remember Margo and what's his name?
Larry.
They came to me after they'd been to the Bible study for a while. For a long time, they and Pete were the only ones that coming. And they came as a couple, and they said, we're really troubled because we don't even know how to pray anymore. And I said, thank God. And they left. I've never seen them again. To know how to pray, what does that mean? That's the last thing I want to know how to do. I want to know how to be in the position of the supplicant. Then he is my only business. Anybody understand?
Yeah, to think that Jesus would pray without faith, or that he would, you know.
Well, it's just goofy.
It doesn't make sense.
It's just, that's what, I mean, that's why these guys, they give lessons on how to pray. They buy books about it. I sell books. And it just, they make me sick to my stomach. Because it's how to pray in order to get stuff to consume on your own lusts. Let's go to chapter 5, 1 John. No, I'm nowhere in chapter. 1 John 3.
3.
Did we read that yet?
No.
It is funny about all of the televangelists I've watched over the years. I've never heard any of them say, repent or surrender. That isn't in their vocabulary.
Okay, verse 18. Chapter 3. No, not 18, excuse me. 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked or evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now we've talked about this many times. All that Abel did was saw the lamb and crucified or killed the lamb as his offering to God. Cain was like the rest of the world. What Cain did is he dug around in his own dirt, in his body, to try to find something to present as an offering to God, and there was nothing acceptable. And that's what it means. I mean, he planted seeds in the ground, which symbolically he was digging in himself to find something acceptable without death. Can't happen. What?
The original seed faith.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, think about it. Can you say, it's no longer important in any way what happens to me? as long as your need is fulfilled. That's what this is talking about. You lose yourself in Him. He overshadows you so that it's just like the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And you lose the consciousness of self. And then everything comes around to try to get that consciousness back. That's what testing is about. If testing puts yourself in the picture, then you haven't waited on God. You have gone back to leaning on your own arm of understanding. And so what are you doing? You're asking amiss, wanting to consume it on your own lust. Everybody see this? Well, that's enough about that. Back to Luke. Verse 9 again. Ask. And it shall be given. Given you. Seek. And you shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Now, it should be noted that ask, seek, and knock are more than a mere repetition. They are a continual enhancement of the intensity. The asking, okay, I'm asking, but seeking is another level. And then knocking is as quick as it gets. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Knock. You got it? All right.
Just one comment. It's interesting that the dialogue where first it's almost like a bullfight. He's beaten down by this incessant, importunate knock, knock, knock. But, you know, it's almost like when you come to the point where you give up and say, oh, God, give him a piece of bread. So there's something that happens in you.
Well, what happens is you see more and more of Him and less of you. Knock, and it shall be opened. That's the whole mystery. He stands at the door, waiting, waiting, waiting. For what? That you would come to the end of self. Then, once you're at the end of self, the knocking, the door is opened automatically. Because you're death. But your death is the key. It's the predicate of Christianity. Okay? Now, hear me. I didn't like this any more than you do. What it produces is a nightmare. But it fulfills every desire of your heart. That is the mystery of God, and that's the only way you can ever be at peace. Otherwise, you'll do everything in the universe trying to find peace. Drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Religion. Trying to find peace. Because what every man truly wants is peace of mind, and the only way there can be peace of mind is your death. And you don't try to die. That's a contradiction in terms. Your death is because you have seen that you died in with him on the cross. So you mortify, which means consider dead. Ignore anything your mind does or anything your emotions say to you. That's how you mortify, because you already know it's dead, but you don't allow the evil one to resurrect himself from his deadly head wound. And this is all integrated into this ask, seek, and knock. If you don't understand this, please say something. All right. Well, verse 11. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's everyone. Because you cannot go through that process without seeing your death. Or you can be as Cain, running around trying to find an offering in you that's acceptable. Doing something for Jesus. All right, now the kicker. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Son is the word huios. Bread is just artos, any kind of food. Father is pater. Stone is lethos. It's not petra, it's lethos, which means a little stone. Fish is ichthys. Anybody remember ichthys?
Fish on the ground?
Yeah, fish on the ground.
But you know why it's ichthys? Why isn't it a dove?
Because your fish is a man, fish pulls out and gets dead.
Well, but it's because, remember, Abraham was born at the dawning of the age of a different age. Jesus was born at the dawning of the age of Aquarius, the age of fish. Share with the rest of us what you're...
I was laughing at
his mother bank jokes.
What?
His mother bank jokes.
What? Wait, what did you say? Let's share with the rest of us.
Well, what I said was, in a jumbled way, I didn't make any sense. That's what I was laughing at.
John called him on it.
John was laughing at me, and I joined him. Fish pulls out and gets dead.
But do you really know why it's like this? No, ichthys is the word for fish.
I know, but the letters were an acronym for something like...
Jesus Christ, is that what they say, but that's not
true. Resurrection or something.
That's not true. It's ichthys because it's fulfilling the mystery. It was the last age. Jesus Christ was born at the dawning of the age of Pisces. We've been in the age of Pisces for 2,000 years. Now it's the dawning of the age of Aquarius. That's the end. That's what the Gospel and the Stars tells us. And the people then knew that. And so that's why ichthys became the symbol of Christians. Anybody believe that? Well, the fulfillment of each of Christ, Abraham was born at the dawning between Taurus and Aries. Then that lasted for 2,000 plus years. Then Christ was born at the dawning of the age of Pisces. That's the second to the last one. The last age, if you believe the ancient writings, is the age of Aquarius. It is peace and understanding, but it's the end of the world. That's what all of that ancient culture was about. And every sign of the zodiac, beginning at Virgo, reveals the mystery of Christ. The star Bethlehem was the star in the head of the first decan of Virgo, which was the woman sitting in a chair holding the boy. The star in the head of the boy, supernova, 65 million years ago. And that was the star when it took 65 million years to reach the Magi, the tribe. The whole tribe came. They brought three gifts. But the whole tribe, Marmench of the tribe, came. It wasn't three. And it took him from the time of his conception, 9 months, to travel across all that time to get to Bethlehem in time to see the Savior before Joseph and Mary left for Egypt. Now that's God's timing. And the stars declare, the heavens declare the glory of God. The only time glory is used is the resurrection. And every symbol of that describes Christ and his suffering, and finally Christ in us. That was the original meaning of the signs of the zodiac. Now, the age of Pisces is the last age before the age of Aquarius, and the age of Aquarius is the end. Now, the age of Aquarius is interesting because it's the water pouring, but it's not a definitive period. It's a time frame, waiting, giving all men time to repent. I'm going to show you something. Forget. Let's go to Psalm 19. This is as big as it gets, if you can hear this. We're going to wait until everybody gets there, which is, we're waiting mostly for Mr. Buckner and his compatriot.
Psalm 19, not 119.
19. Listen to this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or the sky, showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
Isn't firmament the earth?
No, firmament is the sky. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line or their influence is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat or the influence thereof. That's the first, that's the heavens. Then next, the law, or the Torah, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Much more to be desired, and it says, are they, but in the Hebrew it says, much to be desired is him than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, the Torah and the zodiac say the same thing. the message of all the writings and the prophets is just because of the rebellion of man. And then the New Testament shows the fulfillment of it all. And we sit around thinking we've got something to do. We make up crap to give our meaningless lives meaning. Can you see the majesty of him we have dealings with? The timing? Oh, well, what does that mean to me? Well, you're just like the man looking in the looking glass again. Wherever you look, all you see is, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to me? It means nothing to you. It's about him. He is your only life. I guess I went on a rant.
Feeling better?
What?
Feeling better?
I feel better than I did when I started. As Harry said, we need to get somebody to sit and listen to him preach. That's the only way he's going to have to feel good. All right, anybody have any reaction to any of this?
Amen.
Gary, what's going on?
I like it.
Hmm?
I like it. I like the part. None of this that I can accomplish. It's by God's power and by the hearing of the word, it's done.
Except, no, you forgot one thing. Repentance. Nothing can happen
can
without
you
repentance.
Hear without repenting?
Yes. You think
yeah.
You hear.
No, well, you denied what you said then.
You think you hear.
When you don't hear.
You don't really hear God's step.
Right, so without repent, you don't hear.
Right.
I've heard.
Okay. I'm saying you can never forget repentance.
I don't forget. It's a given. That's not a given.
It is not a given. It's you have to see the futility and emptiness of your own actions before repentance can happen.
Can you do that on your own?
That's what the Holy Spirit is doing, has been doing your whole life.
So it's not
he shows you 1,000 times the emptiness and stupidity of your life, and you continued forging on ahead. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not there is no hope, for you found the life of your own hand, and therefore you're not grieved. Walk in the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have at my hand. The sparks that you have kindled are all your little ideas of what to do next. The sparks that you have kindled, if you walk in those, you shall lie down in sorrow. But nothing takes place in God's kingdom without the full repentance of man. Not, oh, I'm sorry. That's the repentance of the world. It's repentance not to be repented of. It's the godly repentance. Because you've seen finally the stupidity and emptiness, not just of your life, but the life of the human race. All right, that's enough. Take a big gun.